Ramping up your business? The time is near. You've given it heart. Now get it in gear. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
I'm Richard Gearhart, founder of Gearhart Law, a full-service intellectual property law firm specializing in patents, trademarks, and copyrights.
And I'm Elizabeth Gearhart, not an attorney, but I do marketing for Gearhart Law, and I have my own startups and podcasts.
Welcome to Passage to Profit, the road to entrepreneurship, where we talk with celebrities and entrepreneurs about their stories and their business ventures.
And speaking of social media, it's making us distracted, manipulated, and divided, and the people who built it know exactly what they're doing. Today, tech entrepreneurs and privacy pioneer Mark Weinstein, one of the original inventors of social networking, pulls back the curtain on big tech, surveillance capitalism, and why your online life is being sold to the highest bidder. So he's here to reveal how we can finally take back control and restore sanity to the web. So welcome again, Mark. He's the author of the book, Restoring Our Sanity Online, which I did have a chance to check out before the program. I think it's definitely worth a read if you're concerned about privacy. So tell us a little bit about surveillance capitalism and what it's doing to us.
One of the reasons why, and this is the Web 2 world that we still live in, that surveillance capitalism works. In other words, on your phone, on your laptop, wherever you are, the data ecosystem, the proverbial they know everything you're doing, who you're talking to, where you are, what you're saying, what your topics are, what your emotions are, what you're thinking. And this is now supercharged by AI. So, you know, when you look me at a news feed, whether it's on TikTok or X or Insta or Facebook or wherever you are, that news feed is also designed purposefully to addict you, to keep you there as long as possible. And the data is stunning, right? Kids are spending 5 to 7 hours a day on social media. Grown-ups too. And we all see this. Either we know a young person or we know an older person who a year ago maybe wasn't so hooked, but now with the advent of AI supercharged algorithms, we're stuck. And what are these algorithms doing? They're manipulating our thoughts, our opinions, our purchase decisions, our votes. And so this is a massive incursion on humanity. And I'm one of the guys who loves social media. I'm one of the guys who invented social media. There's about 100 of us. And the inventor of the World Wide Web, Sir Tim Berners-Lee, has endorsed my book, as has Woz, you know, the great Woz, co-founder of Apple. Both of these guys say it's a vital read. It's a must read. And in the book, we talk about, okay, well, we've got this giant mess, but can we fix it or are we doomed? Because remember now, social media is causing democracy to falter. So we've got a lot of issues here, Richard, and there's a lot going on. And then the aspect of bots and trolls, because right now, you know, even in the wake of all of the political things that are going on right now, no one's talking about the huge perpetration by bots and trolls paid for by nefarious entities, by nefarious countries, and there are millions of them. It's well documented. And by the way, my book has over 400, footnotes, because it's important to find credible sources for anything that you're saying today. This is also really important. We've got to get to a much better world around fact-checking and questioning facts. You know, it was well documented a few years ago that half of Elon's followers were bots and trolls, half of Biden's followers are bots and trolls. Because, you know, we're talking about tens of millions of followers, half of them bots and trolls. And what they're doing also to us in our regular news feeds, for us, the rest of us, is the perpetration. Remember, the Russians and the Chinese would like nothing better to disrupt democracy. Now they've had plenty of time. They've had a good decade of fomenting disagreement. And remember, the backbone of democracy is disagreement, always has been, not hatred. We don't really hate each other. But this perpetration where we, you know, most of these people aren't even real, who we think we're having an argument with online. So there's a lot to fix. Now, there's a lot of things that are coming up to fix this stuff. There's a lot we can do.
Mark Weinstein, a tech entrepreneur, social networking pioneer, and privacy expert, author of Restoring Our Sanity Online. I'm just kind of wondering, like, well, okay, so all of this sounds really crazy and it doesn't sound good, but what does it really harm? I talk with my kids about these topics and they're like, oh, loosen up, Dad. It's not a big deal. So what if somebody knows what my favorite potato chip is? They're just going to send me ads and maybe a coupon. And so it'll work out for me. So why get so worked up about this?
Such a good question. And remember, this is the same thing as, you know, surveillance capitalism is now about 15 or 17 years old. So back in 2010, 2011, people thought it was cool, right? Just like kids today. It's no different. It's like, oh, wow, they know what I want. They know, you know, the kind of potato chip, the kind of shoes. They know what I like. That's great. But it doesn't stop them. So we know all the body shaming. We know all the issues that young women have, young girls have, suicidal thoughts, that, you know, all this stuff going on because they're made to feel as though there's something inappropriate or inferior about them. So they have to buy this product or that product. You know, we have a breakdown in how democracy functions and in our ability to critically think. We've got to be able to ascertain who is pushing this information into my newsfeed. Why? What's the purpose? Wouldn't it be nice if they said, well, here's something being put in your newsfeed because it's trying to affect your vote or your healthcare decisions or, you know, your financial decisions, and it's coming from this or that. So, Richard, there's a lot at stake here, and unfortunately, a lot of our kids don't realize it. Also, remember, kids up to the age and through the age of 13, and this goes back 30 years ago to the present, whatever they see advertisements, they think are telling the truth. Yeah. That's just how it is. And now we have to really fast forward our critical thinking teaching so the kids can now, because in the old days, it was just a potato chip ad. But now they're being fed so much information, more than ever in the history of humankind.
I agree 100% with you. The algorithms show us what we want to see, reinforce our beliefs. The other side is evil. And then you go meet somebody who doesn't believe the same way you do, and they're not evil. They don't look like the devil. But the algorithms or whomever is controlling that. So that's the other thing, is we blame it on the algorithms. It's not the algorithms. It's the people that are controlling it. There's people behind this. But my question is, how do you stop it? And then I'm just wondering, if some kid is getting bullied online, could you like program your own bot to go back after the bullier so they'd leave your kid alone? I mean, that would ask.
There you go. Fight fire with fire, right?
You know, look, this is a great question. I talk a lot about good AI, and this is an AI, you know, centric conversation today also. And I have a chapter on AI, you know, because AI is really creepy with these relationships that we're developing, personal relationships with our AI friends, and the AI friend is just slurping data and pushing that up into the data ecosystem. So you can't yet program a personal AI to then sort of filter everything, but here's what we can do. We talk about, because the book is very much a recipe for the future, not a, you know, regurgitation of the past. There's enough of books talking about the past. We've got to move into the future, into what I call Web 4, because Web 3 doesn't work, and most people don't even know what Web 3 is, and don't worry about that right now. And part of that is, for our kids, is user ID verification. Now, this is I'm one of the world's leading privacy guys. I've been against this for years. But for our children on social media, not for marginalized people, not for whistleblowers, we protect the anonymity of those people. But for our kids on social media sites, and that includes YouTube, and that includes, you know, TikTok, and that includes, you know, Insta, and that includes even X, where our kids are, we've got to make sure that anybody who's connecting to them is a verified minor, and that there's no grown-up or bot who is fraudulently perpetrating and manipulating them. We've got to protect. We've got to start with a good verification system. There's some countries looking at this, Spain, Australia. We've got to protect our kids first. That's the first place we go.
We're with Mark Weinstein, and Mark, it's been great talking with you. Quick question. What are some of the biggest privacy threats that people aren't even aware of?
Well, first of all, and this goes back to the advent of surveillance capitalism, when companies like Facebook and Google realized that the way to make a boatload of money is to look, peek over your shoulder at everything you're doing, and then to target you with, you know, ads and all this stuff.
For example, if we have like a Fire TV or a Google TV, Is that collecting data from us and then sending it back to Amazon or Google, the programs we watch? And
all the time. Look, if your phone is on and you're logged into Instagram or any Meta product, or you're logged into Google, whatever it is, your phone is constantly listening to you. Anybody can try this at home. Talk about somebody you haven't seen in a long time. Just have a conversation, not on your phone, just like with some friends around the phone. And then wait a day or two or 30 minutes or 10 minutes and see how long it takes for you to get some kind of suggestion about that friend or about that product, whatever it is you want to talk about. Just check it out, everybody. This is real. You're being monitored all the time. It goes into the data. It's called the data ecosystem. And that data is shared across platforms. And yeah, this is a massive problem. So, you know, what's going to happen soon is data portability. The inventor of the web is working on this, data interoperability. So soon, and this is all coming, you'll have a pod. You will actually control your data. This is really what the future is. And this is likely to be part of the FTC, Federal Trade Commission, settlement with Meta. We're going to start to see some kind of data interoperability where you'll be able to pull your data off a platform, you'll be able to control it, et cetera.
Gary Cohen.
Mark, I'm wondering about compulsion. So this idea of how AI has led us to addictive behaviors with our phone and other media. I know my dog recognizes it because when I'm on my phone, my dog walks to the other room. It's amazing. But I also feel a compulsion, you know, as a 63-year-old, and I have a compulsion to look at my phone, right? So we know other addictive forces in our lives are, you know, numerous, how we medicate ourselves. What's happening on that front to help people with it as an addiction versus just, it's clever, I'm kind of hooked in? Because there's a big distinction between those.
Gary, that's such an important question. And it's not just that. First of all, we know that the screen is addictive, and it's addictive to a toddler. So if you have kids, you know, right now, the first 2 years, don't let them see the phone. Don't let them see a TV. This is, and even, there's certain countries now that are actually mandating that. But Gary, even as a 63-year-old guy, you're addicted more than ever. And here's why. This is the AI conversation. Previously, it was the algorithms that were manipulating your newsfeed because they could plug into the data ecosystem and adjust and adapt. But AI is adjusting and adapting to what you're doing in nanoseconds, anticipating your next thought, anticipating, you know, whatever is being paid for to be pushed into your newsfeed that's going to keep you hooked and also serve who's ever paid for that. This is why you're hooked more than ever before. What can we do? We've got to find a way to flag when AI is operating. And also what you can do, I'm sorry, man, but you've got to be proactive. You actually have to start to put your windows of time in. You've got to lock it down. You got to put the phone away at meals. You got to put the phone away at night. You're going to have to lock down the phone and create your own sort of channels for when it's permissible for you to be on the phone, as you know, for an hour and just be there. And then you got to put it down. You're going to have to discipline.
Yeah, it's possible that we could go too far with all of this data surveillance. For example, I think you mentioned during your TED Talk, Mark, which is a great TED Talk, by the way. You should look up Mark on YouTube, which admittedly is a social media channel. But you talk about China, for example, and how they have these surveillance capabilities, and they actually create rewards and punishments based on people's online behavior. And if you say the wrong thing about the government, you could be put in jail, or your kid could be denied access to a top school. And they're actually being much more direct about manipulating the population. And you like to think that we would never get to that point, but this is a boiling frog situation.
People are getting fired for speaking their minds on social media right now today.
Which is ironic because we're the country of free speech.
We were the country of free speech.
Yeah, we were.
But and one thing I like to do, and I know this doesn't really work for everybody, I like to try to confuse them. So I put my wrong birthday into Facebook.
So you get birthday cards on the wrong day. What is, I mean, oh my God, that's fooling them.
Yeah, and I try to confuse my Kindle by ordering books all over the spectrum.
I thought that was just because you had a lot of different interests.
I don't know. I think that you're right. They're just, we have to take more downtime, Mark, right? I mean, I don't know what the other solution is.
Well, you know, in all that about 6 hours, this, and it's amazing you can tolerate that much time before there's a significant increase in the number of people who are depressed. But that 6 hour marker is when we see it with kids and grownups. If you're spending 6 hours a day on media, and that could be your phone, your computer, TV, you got 6 hours a day, you're much more likely to be headed straight into some kind of depression, a longer-term depression.
Fascinating discussion. We have to take a commercial break. We're with Mark Weinstein, author of Restoring Our Sanity Online. We'll have more Passage to Profit right after this. IP in the News coming up, as well as the AI Roundtable, and also Secrets of the Entrepreneurial Mind. You don't want to miss that. And don't forget to experience more of Passage to Profit by subscribing to us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and YouTube, or by subscribing to our podcast anywhere that you get your podcasts. Just look for the Passage to Profit show on any of these platforms. We'll be back right after this.
Attention investors. This is a simple commercial on the investment value of gold. Gold continues to make new highs. In good markets and in bad markets, you need to have your portfolio balanced with gold. Learn about owning physical gold or getting a gold-backed IRA. Make this simple call right now.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold. We're offering a 100% risk-free gold guide. Gold continues to make new highs. And unlike stocks, gold has never been worth zero. You owe it to your nest egg and future to own some physical gold or set up a gold-backed IRA. Call right now for your free report.
800-653-2073. 800-653-2073. That's 800-653-2073.
Sponsored by Reagan Gold.
Do you love going on a cruise, or have you always dreamt on going on the cruise vacation of your life? With dozens of cruise companies, who do you call to find the right vacation and deal for you? Now you can make one phone call and shop all the best deals on every single cruise line in the world. You can't get that by calling one cruise line. We have them all, with experts that know the ins and outs of every cruise ship and can tell you the best cruise for your vacation needs. Our cruise packages start at $149. Plus, we offer free internet, free guest packages, and cash back deals. So now is your chance to book the cruise of your lifetime. Call the cruise hotline right now and shop every single cruise line in the world. Here's the number. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. 800-577-4742. That's 800-577-4742.
Now back to Passage to Profit. Once again, Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And our special guest, Mark Weinstein. And he has written a book called Restoring Our Sanity Online. He's talking about social media. He was a social media pioneer. He was one of the first inventors of a social media platform.
At 14 patents.
He has 14 patents and very smart guy, obviously. And what we wanted to shift the conversation to, we talked a little bit about the evils of how we're being manipulated and data mined by our social media use. But we use it for work and we get business from it. So we don't personally post. I post on my own LinkedIn, but otherwise we have assistants who post for us on social media every day. So how do you reconcile that with the data mining manipulation?
You know, listen, that's a great question. I mean, collectively, if you are running a business, you need to reach out and find your customers. This is different than the, the ethical breakdowns of social media, around, manipulating people's votes and things like that. Body shaming, all these things that go on. If you're a business, then you ought to be very savvy about how you spend your marketing dollars. And today you've got to spend it digitally. You can't, nobody runs a newspaper ad anymore, really, or something like that. You've got to be there. And so you've just got to be savvy about that. That's, I think, a very appropriate use as a business person. You want to find your customers. Now, the best way to use social media, in my opinion, for business is grassroots, though, where you're actually not paying, but you have some social media expert who can find the people that are likely to want your product or service and can find them in a grassroots way. And that's by themselves being engaged in social media, in groups, you know, in thought with thought leadership, and finding like-minded people. And that's really because, you know, you want to create a little movement, right? You want to create this sort of niche of what I call ambassadors. Because really you're looking for the ambassadors, the people that are going to love your product, going to broadcast, going to wear it, going to show it, you know, going to use it, talk about it. That's where the rubber meets the road. So,
and I hate to say this, Mark, but I'm going to say it anyway. You can use ChatGPT to do that because I run a meetup group and we had somebody who had to attend a funeral and couldn't make it. So I did ask it to check LinkedIn and it brought up somebody who I knew who had spoken at my group before, and he came and spoke at the group last night. And I wouldn't have really thought that way unless I'd used ChatGPT to scour LinkedIn for me.
But see, AI, remember, AI isn't inherently good or bad. It's the application of AI that makes it either nefarious or a good guy and helpful. So that's a very good use. We all use AI. You know, I prefer to use it, you know, in searches, right? Because if you're using an unbiased AI and you want to search on a product, like what's really the best mattress for this application or whatever it is, you know, AI is really helpful right now in nanoseconds. So I think that's a very good application. And we've got, here's the challenge in modern society, in the history of humankind. Technology runs ahead of anybody's ability to regulate or understand its impact on the human condition. And that's always going to be the case. So now we're always playing catch up. So here we are playing catch up around AI. Now we've learned, you know, how nefarious it can be and also how awkward it is. There's AI stuffed animals for our kids. And then they make the kids feel good. But you know what they're doing? They're just collecting data because they're connected to the web and they're reporting back and they're figuring out what to say next. This is, you know, we're in the middle of quite a conundrum. But AI can be mass. AI can also root out the bad AI. AI can find a bot and troll. You know, it's interesting. We're now going to be cat and mouse, AI versus AI.
We are.
So we're with Mark Weinstein, author of Restoring Our Sanity Online. Mark, you were one of the earlier creators of social networking, starting back in the 90s. Maybe you could tell us a little bit about what motivated you to get into this business and how you got started.
You know, first of all, anybody who remembers in the 90s, it was incredible. This was called the new economy and the idea. And we had email back then. Don't kid yourself. We had email in the 90s, especially in the mid to late 90s. And it was just as ghastly as it is now. In other words, it's one-dimensional. We misunderstand. We misinterpret. We're stuck on it. We're waiting for the next, you know, all that. So the idea of, you know, getting new technology, and at the time I had a 10-year-old nephew, because you want to listen to kids, you want to listen to your kids and other kids. And my nephew and I took a hike around a lake on a family vacation, and we started to ideate, you know, Uncle Marky, wouldn't it be great if we could? And we had this conversation 10 minutes into it. I looked at my nephew and said, you know, I'm going to start a company. I'm going to give you 10% of it. I went back home at this point to Albuquerque. I started a company, and back then you put an ad in the newspaper, you interview people at your dining room table. I hired engineers and graphic designers who couldn't design pages that would load because no one had done it before. Now, at the same time, there were several companies. When we were in beta, they were in beta. Superfamily.com and Superfriends.com were mine. They became PC Magazine top 100 sites 3 years in a row worldwide. But it was an exciting, amazing time. And this is, again, you know, so my tip here is, like always, pay attention to what your kids are doing. I mean, the idea that we're all wearing ripped jeans today, or our kids are, come on, that came from, you know, our generations, the guys that are older on this broadcast, like me and Gary and Tim, and, you know, Elizabeth and Richard. Come on, you know, it was just cool when the jeans finally got worn out that they ripped, you would wear them. Now you buy them ripped. It's ridiculous.
I was just too cheap to buy new pants. Mark, it's just been amazing. Can you tell us where people can find you?
Thank you. The book, Restoring Our Sanity Online, is audio, it's Kindle, it's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any bookstore that you like. It's been in the airport stores for months. The book, by the way, is highly entertaining because I have hilarious stories. So you can find me, markweinsteininventor.com. You can write to me, mark@restoretheweb.com, and you can find the books everywhere. So, and thank you, everybody. It's a great conversation, and the book has, you know, a lot of what you can do right now for yourself, for your kids, what we can do right now and what's coming.
Great. Well, the pleasure's been all ours.
Yeah, I'm going to get that for us and the kids.
Passage to Profit is a nationally syndicated radio show appearing in 39 markets across the U.S. In addition, Passage to Profit has also been recently selected by FeedSpot Podcasters Database as a top 10 entrepreneur interview podcast. Thank you to the P2P team, our producer Noah Fleischman, and our program coordinator Alicia Morrissey, our studio assistant Rissikat Busari, and our social media powerhouse Carolina Tabares. Look for our podcast tomorrow anywhere you get your podcasts. Our podcast is ranked in the top 3% globally. You can also find us on Facebook, Instagram, X, and on our YouTube channel. And remember, while the information on this program is believed to be correct, never take a legal step without checking with your legal professional first. Gearhart Law is here for your patent, trademark, and copyright needs. You can find us at gearhartlaw.com and contact us for a free consultation. Take care, everybody. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.